Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
Tomorrow, hard to believe, 20 years ago, marks 20 years since the introduction of the smoking ban in this country. And we were the first country in the world to implement it. I think all hailed really as a fantastic idea, has worked well. We've seen it over the past 20 years in terms of the reduction in the number of people taking up smoking and the health benefits, more importantly, that have come from it. But I just want to chat to people today to get your memories and how much it has changed, the benefits that you've noticed over the past two decades. Michael O'Donovan is the owner of the Castle Inn in Cork City. Michael, when you cast your mind back to probably this day 20 years ago on the eve of the introduction of the smoking ban, how were you feeling at the time?
Very apprehensive, very nervous, yeah. Very worried. You know, I'd taken over the family bar probably 4 or 5 years previously, had obviously invested. I was getting married that year and it was just a very nervous time because, you know, we didn't know where our business was going to go. Before this, you know, it was hand in glove. People came in, ordered a pint, ordered 10 cigarettes, 20 cigarettes. You know, you'd ashtrays everywhere. Bars were smoke filled. I myself am an asthmatic, and it was it wasn't good for my health back then. Like my eyes used to suffer from a thing called red eye, and I used to be using nearly an inhaler a day. But business wise, or an inhaler a week, sorry. But business wise, it was very, very concerning. And I remember in January, February that year going to vintners meetings here in Cork City, and also you know, nationally, and there was huge, you know, trepidation because we were going into the unknown. You know, as you highlighted there, this hadn't been done anywhere else in the world, and our culture for the previous 60 years had been drinking and smoking, and every film that was produced here had scenes in bars with drink and smoke going together. So we were going changing the culture, and we were very nervous about it, very worried, because, you know, we didn't know how this was going to pan out. And, you know, we were fearful for our businesses. But if we had a crystal ball from this day 20 years ago to where we are today, you know, it's probably been, to be fair, one of the biggest game changers that we've had in our industry.
It really had it really had little to no negative effect, Michael.
No, you know, if anything, if I suppose if we're honest, it probably helped our businesses because, you know, like I myself had a yard at the back of my pub. I'm landlocked and I had to go thinking, what am I going to do? That yard was where I stored all my empty kegs, and like I had to get thinking what I was going to do. So like converted that yard, took out the empty kegs, put shelving, painted it, cleaned it up. And then I, you know, a couple of months later, canopies started to become the big thing, you know, for the keeping people dry while they were out there, heaters, etc. And, you know, people invested in these outdoor areas.
So you basically had an extension to the pub, Michael.
It nearly was an extension to the pub that, unbeknownst to myself, that I was able to extend, you know, because people were able to go out there. And, like, I think I had a lot of trepidation because my daytime customers were generally older. And, you know, I thought that how was I going to get them to conform to this? You know, if a health inspector came in and the lads would be there smoking with an ashtray in their pint. But to be fair, from day one, they all embraced it. And, you know, yes, look, there was probably one or two at the start that were giving out about it. But after a month, 6 weeks, they fully, appreciated it.
Yeah, got on board.
Yeah, and I think it was, the timing was good, you know, doing it spring coming into summer because the weather, you know, was helpful for people going outside.
Well, that was key.
Yeah, had it been done September, October, November, it could have gone the other way, you know. But it's the timing of it was key to it working, and you know, like health wise for us now, for employees, no matter if you're in hospitality or any place of work, you know, it's much better having clean air, having a safer place to work. And, you know, like the jobs at the end of the night, cleaning the ashtrays used to be horrible. Like, I'm a non-smoker. It used to kill me to do it, to be looking at this ash and looking at these butts and cleaning them all and washing them out. And one of the big things people probably don't even realise is, you know, the televisions in our tellies at that time, there used to be a yellow film over it, and you used to have to wash it each week, the telly. And like when you'd wash it, the colour on the telly would be totally different to the hour before when you had the yellow film over it. So all these small things, but it just made our life, you know, a lot better, a lot easier.
Stay with us, Michael. Alex is on the line as well. What are your memories, Alex?
I remember, so like at the time, like everybody else, that remembers that you were going out, and within the super pubs, predominantly they were very unpleasant places to be, because especially late at night they would turn off the aircon and the doors would be closed. So between the heat of everybody else and then the smoke, you get very hot and you get encouraged to drink more. And I think that was the main driver to speed up the process of banning, especially in pubs.
Did you smoke? Were you a smoker?
Yeah. And it was weird. Like you couldn't really go out because you couldn't get back in again in some places. But if you knew the doorman, that wasn't a problem. You go outside just to cool down. So when the smoking ban came in, it made it much more. It made going out more amenable because it wasn't then completely sweaty and unpleasant going out. And then, in later life, it's easier to go out to go to pubs now. But at the idea of bringing your family, you just wouldn't because
well,
of
that's
the kids.
It. And children sitting, in a pub and the room, you know, just the cloud of smoke that would sit and hang there for the time you were in the pub.
Yeah.
Listeners text in to say the smoking ban changed my life. I was a really heavy smoker, especially when drinking. And due to the smoking ban, I stopped going out except for festivals. I managed to pay and complete a master's. I travelled to Asia, all while saving a deposit to build my own house. And now, 20 years later, I've been 10 years nicotine free. I'm halfway through my mortgage as well. So thank you, Mr. Martin. I presume that's to Micheál Martin. There you go. Very, very incredibly complimentary message from that listener. What about you, Tina? What's your experience?
If Micheál Martin never did another thing, he did the best thing in the world, as far as I'm concerned.
The smoking ban.
I had a great time for that man because of the smoking ban. I absolutely hated smoking, Andrea. My parents smoked when we were kids. Imagine being stuck in a car with parents smoking. It was just horrible. Buses, trains, I mean, the non-smoking section in a restaurant was an absolute joke. Never mind a bus or an airplane. I remember you'd get all dressed up to go out. You'd get your hair done, nice clothes, everything fabulous. You'd come home stinking and reeking. You'd have to throw everything into the wash, bed clothes, coat, everything.
Your hair. I always remember it was the hair, Tina, wasn't it?
Oh my God,
the stink hair.
Morning. If you had a few drinks on you now, it didn't matter too much. You wouldn't take too much notice of it, but you'd wake up the following morning going,
As a non-smoker, you know, you're still even just from being in the pub, you stank.
Also being in the pub. I mean, I never smoked and I would be just as stinky as the next person who was smoking. Well, except my breath wouldn't be as bad, I suppose. but yeah, Andrea, it was just most fantastic thing. I couldn't wait for it to come in because I had pretty much stopped going out. It was just horrible.
I've got
friends who they thought it was the few drinks they were having was giving them migraine. But when the smoking ban came in, they were getting no migraine. It was actually the cigarette smoke.
Yeah.
And I know a few people like that.
It was a big decision. You know, it was a bold decision at the time. And as Michael mentioned, a lot of people weren't on board with it, even from the Republican perspective and other groups. It was, and as Michael just pointed out, it was just the unknown. We'd nobody else to look to.
No, except maybe I think Tongo, a small African company, have completely banned cigarettes, completely and utterly. I wish we'd go down that route, to be honest with you. I don't like having to walk through smoke to get in and out of some place. It still gets it on me. Somebody who smokes and they put their coat on top of mine, I can smell the stink. You know, people don't think that if they're not smoking right now, that if not, they're not smelling of it. They stink of it. Their breath reeks. You can smell it. It oozes out the pores. And that's not even the damage that's doing to their eyes, their teeth, their skin. And that's before you ever get sick. The big C word. So I'd like it completely gone.
Completely, yeah. Don't stop. Keep going. Okay.
Yeah.
Stay with us, Tina, if you don't mind. 1800 453 106 is the number. I think we've got Finian McGrath, former government minister, with us on the line. Finian, looking back, are you glad the ban came in?
Good afternoon, Andrea. Can I first say I was that was 20 years ago. It's actually hard to believe.
I know, isn't it?
I kind of mixed emotions about that.
Yeah.
But at that stage, I was only. I was a rookie TD. I was only 2 years, I think, in the Dáil at that stage. But I have to say, I put my hands up, and I know it's not a very popular thing to say. I'm an actual smoker. Yeah. And
you were a vocal opponent now of this.
I was, yeah. I was, my first reaction, I wasn't happy because I felt it was an intrusion into my personal life. I thought we were going down the nanny state role, and I was concerned about it because I'm all smokers, including myself, and there's about 18% of us in the country, still in the country today. We're all in favour of respecting the views of non-smokers, and we all understand and agree with the health aspect to the whole debate. But our big issue was that we felt it was an intrusion, and I felt very strongly, and I said it both in opposition and in government, that having designated smoking areas for smokers was the right road to go down. Because it annoyed a lot of the attitudes at the time. And even in recent times, there's an attitude of kind of people lecturing smokers. We've all our faults. We've all addictions. We've all problems in our personal life. And people, I like to go out and have a smoke and a pint with my neighbours and friends. But the bottom line is, if there's designated smoking areas, that solves the problem. Mm. But there's still this kind of morality police syndrome. And we don't have the same emphasis, for example, people that abuse alcohol, people that are in their A&Es on a Saturday night, very, very drunk, causing disruption inside in the thing. And there doesn't seem to be the same kind of strong views in relation to that.
Do you think that's still the case, Finian? Yeah.
It is still the case. Yeah. I mean, I know, like, for example, I know many doctors and nurses who are smokers in their private life, and that's their private business. But when they're in there, when you see the situation, when you see the assaults and stuff, and I've been in loads of A&Es over the last 25 years and seeing what goes on in some situations, and it's all related to alcohol. But you never hear that debate really coming out strong, whereas it's very easy to beat up the man and woman that wants to have a quiet cigarette in a designated smoking area, mind their own business.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, when you're obviously a Fianna Fáil TD and your party leader wasn't party leader at the time, Micheál Martin, but as health minister when he was bringing this in. Like, just for you on a personal level, Finian, what was it like for you as a kind of a young rookie TD, 2 years in the Dáil?
First of all, Andrea, I was an independent TD.
At the time?
I was always an independent.
Sorry, apologies,
Finian. No problem, but... But no, at the time, it was kind of, the mood was there, and the mood was, and listen, I accept the reality. 80% of the Irish people would support the points that are made by Tina, and I accept that. But my argument was always, two issues was, the personal, the right to do things yourself, and do what you want to do. We don't go around lecturing people who are having a few drinks and all that, but we regularly lecture smokers. But there's also the criminality issue, which is very important as well, and the whole issue of tax. Because I remember saying to when I was in government myself as a minister, I used to say to Pascal Donoghue and the cabinet was the loss every time they put up cigarettes, the loss of revenue was amazing. It was 200 or 300 million per year, and that over 20 years is now we've lost 4 billion in tax revenue on cigarettes because a lot of people now, because of the price of cigarettes, are not buying the cigarettes. They're getting the broad, and the black market is rampant at the moment, and criminality now has gone into the whole issue of illegal cigarettes. So what I'm saying is the impact was on small businesses, small shopkeepers as well. But of course, I accept the argument, the health argument. I have no problem about that. But I just feel that we have a kind of morality police still at the moment in relation to smoking, and I think that's not acceptable.
Looking back, though, 20 years on, overall, it's been a good move.
Oh, listen, I accept it was, and I take the points that Tina made there earlier on about, I wouldn't dream of smoking in the car with any of my daughters, right? I wouldn't dream of smoking in a restaurant or here. But what really cheeses me off, though, is if you go out for a drink or a meal, and some places don't bother to have a designated smoking area with a couple of chairs, a canopy, and an ashtray, and they kind of more or less then... A regular comment to me is, I'd say, where's the smoking area? And they'd say, oh, you can go out and smoke in the street. Mm. And they kind of laugh about it. I don't like that attitude, because what they're doing is, there's 18 to 20% of people smokers. And if they had those facilities in place, we'd respect the non-smokers, but we'd also have our space. And to be quite honest, yeah, I said to those kind of people is, again, I emphasize, they remind me of the morality police. Nobody should be lecturing people about what they do in their private lives and what we do. If somebody overeats at McDonald's or overeats in restaurants or something, you're not kind of coming on beating them up about it. So what I'm saying to people is, give us a break, give smokers a break, and get away from this nanny state idea. But of course, respect the rights of non-smokers, the rights of children, absolutely. But give us a break, that's what I say.
Right. Well, there you go. That's Finian McGrath there with us today on the show. I've got John on the line as well. John, what's your memories of the smoking ban?
Hi, Andrea. My biggest memory is the change in the smell in the pubs.
For the better, I assume, John.
Well, I don't know, because when there was no tobacco smoke, you could smell the carpet.
Right.
God knows the mold how old they were. You know those Axminster-y type floral carpets. And like years of drinks being spilled and God knows whatever. And even though they're probably cleaned, but the smell when you go in, you could smell it. A lot of places took their carpets out, particularly in lounges. And there was one particular pub, it was on Aston Quay, and the toilets were downstairs. But when you walked in, you could smell the toilets coming up the stairs.
It's hard to believe, yeah. Even the smoking managed to sort of dampen that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'd say a lot of, and like the barman that was the bar owner that was on earlier, but it was television. Sure, all the ceilings were yellow.
Yeah, I know. And even when you painted, when you'd paint over them, sure, within no time.
Ah,
yeah, they were back yellow
you could
again.
See it dripping off. Now I smoked, but you could nearly see.
Do you still?
You could nearly see the accumulation dripping down from the ceiling.
Do you still smoke, John?
I vape now. I've been vaping for I don't know about 8 years now.
Right, to try and to get off them, or. Did you just...
Well, originally, that was the original idea. But to be quite honest with you, I used to smoke about 20 cigarettes a day. But I'd say I'm vaping about 60 cigarettes worth of nicotine now.
60?
Yeah, easily. Because, you know, if we were smoking in the house, you'd go outside. But if you're vaping, if you're watching TV, you could be sitting there watching a movie. And
you'd vape in the house. I'm just interested in the point that... I'm just interested, John, in the point... Sorry, just that Finian made a few moments ago there, you know, about the morality police. Like, did you get to hear him? You did?
Yeah, I did. I don't.
You don't agree? Okay. I mean, all right.
No, most places have somewhere. And look, even if they're smaller places and they don't have an area, if you're going to go out for a cigarette, you just go out the front door, have a quick cigarette,
okay.
Back in again.
See, a text from Colm in Cork. He says, I'm not a smoker, but I do find when I go out, I usually end up in the smoking area. It seems to be wherever, that seems to be where the most crack is. I've always found that myself, Colm, over the years. And another listener says, great idea, the smoking ban, but I was the only one of my friends not to smoke, so they'd all be outside puffing away and I'd be alone, left inside, says this texter.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.